Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics in GCSE chemistry, the chemistry of the atmosphere. Whether you're revising for your mocks or gearing up for the real thing, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need to know, from the fiery beginnings of our planet right through to the pollution challenges we face today. This topic comes up in exams more often than students expect, and the good news is, once you understand the story of our atmosphere, the facts just fall into place naturally. So grab a pen, find a comfortable spot, and let's get started. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to describe how the Earth's atmosphere evolved over billions of years, explain the greenhouse effect using the correct scientific language, identify the pollutants produced by burning fuels, and, crucially, you'll know exactly what examiners are looking for when they ask you about these topics. Let's start right at the beginning, about 4.6 billion years ago when the Earth was brand new. The early atmosphere was nothing like what we breathe today. There was no oxygen at all. Instead, intense volcanic activity was constantly erupting, releasing huge volumes of gases. The main gases were carbon dioxide and water vapor, along with smaller amounts of nitrogen, methane, and ammonia. Think of it as a thick, toxic, steamy blanket around a molten planet. Not exactly holiday weather. Now, here's a key exam point. Candidates often lose marks by forgetting that the early atmosphere was dominated by carbon dioxide, similar to the atmospheres of Mars and Venus today. Examiners specifically credit this comparison, so it's worth remembering. As the Earth gradually cooled over millions of years, something remarkable happened. The water vapor in the atmosphere condensed. It turned from gas into liquid and fell as rain, filling the oceans. This was a turning point. Once the oceans existed, carbon dioxide began dissolving into the seawater. This is one of the two main reasons carbon dioxide levels fell dramatically. The dissolved carbon dioxide then reacted to form carbonate compounds, which were incorporated into the shells and skeletons of marine organisms. When those organisms died, they sank to the seabed. And over millions of years, formed sedimentary rocks like limestone. Some of the organic matter was buried and compressed to eventually form fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas. So when we burn fossil fuels today, we are literally releasing carbon dioxide that was locked away hundreds of millions of years ago. That's a powerful thought. Now for the second major change, and this one transformed everything. Around 2.7 billion years ago, the first photosynthetic organisms appeared. These were cyanobacteria, tiny blue-green algae, and they began doing something revolutionary, using sunlight, carbon dioxide, and water to produce glucose and, crucially, oxygen. As billions upon billions of these organisms photosynthesized over hundreds of millions of years, oxygen gradually built up in the atmosphere. This allowed more complex life to evolve, eventually, including plants, animals, and us. Today, the atmosphere is approximately 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and about 1% argon, with a tiny but critically important 0.04% carbon dioxide. Examiners love asking you to express these as fractions or percentages, so make sure you're comfortable with those numbers. Right, now let's talk about the greenhouse effect, and this is where candidates really need to be precise with their language. The greenhouse effect is a natural process that keeps the Earth warm enough to support life. Without it, the average temperature on Earth would be around minus 18 degrees Celsius. So the greenhouse effect itself is not the problem, it's the enhanced greenhouse effect caused by human activity that we need to worry about. Here's how it works. The sun emits radiation at short wavelengths. This is visible light and ultraviolet radiation. The short wavelength radiation passes straight through the atmosphere and is absorbed by the Earth's surface. The Earth then re-emits this energy, but at longer wavelengths as infrared radiation, which is essentially heat. Now, greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, carbon dioxide, methane, water vapor, and nitrous oxide, absorb this long wavelength infrared radiation and re-emit it in all directions, including back towards Earth. This traps heat in the lower atmosphere and keeps the planet warm. The key phrase examiners want to see is, "Greenhouse gases absorb long wavelength infrared radiation and re-emit it, preventing heat from escaping into space." Human activities are increasing the concentration of greenhouse gases. Burning fossil fuels releases carbon dioxide. Agriculture, particularly cattle farming and rice paddies, releases methane. Deforestation removes trees that would otherwise absorb carbon dioxide. The result is an enhanced greenhouse effect, leading to global climate change. The potential effects of climate change include rising global temperatures, melting polar ice caps, rising sea levels, more extreme weather events like floods and droughts, disruption to ecosystems, and threats to food security. Examiners may ask you to evaluate the quality of evidence for climate change. Remember that scientific consensus is built through peer review, where scientists check each other's work, and that the vast majority of climate scientists agree that human activity is the primary driver. Now let's cover atmospheric pollutants, the gases and particles produced when we burn fuels. Complete combustion of a hydrocarbon fuel produces carbon dioxide and water, but when there isn't enough oxygen in complete combustion, we get different, more dangerous products. Carbon monoxide is produced by the incomplete combustion of carbon-containing fuels. It's a colorless, odorless, toxic gas. It's dangerous because it binds to hemoglobin in red blood cells much more strongly than oxygen does, preventing the blood from carrying oxygen around the body. This can cause headaches, dizziness, and at high concentrations, death. Soot, solid carbon particles, is also produced by incomplete combustion. Soot contributes to global dimming by reflecting sunlight back into space before it reaches Earth's surface. It also causes respiratory problems and blackens buildings. Sulfur dioxide is produced when fuels containing sulfur impurities are burned. Coal and some oils contain sulfur, and when they combust, the sulfur reacts with oxygen to form sulfur dioxide. This gas dissolves in rainwater to form sulfuric acid, contributing to acid rain. Acid rain damages ecosystems, kills trees, acidifies lakes and rivers, and corrodes limestone buildings and metal structures. Finally, oxides of nitrogen, often written as NOx, are formed at the high temperatures inside car engines and industrial furnaces. At these temperatures, nitrogen and oxygen from the air react together to form nitrogen monoxide, which can then react further to form nitrogen dioxide. Like sulfur dioxide, oxides of nitrogen dissolve in rainwater to form nitric acid, contributing to acid rain. They also contribute to photochemical smog in cities. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. First, the most common mistake I see: candidates confuse the greenhouse effect with ozone depletion. These are completely different processes. The greenhouse effect is about infrared radiation being trapped by greenhouse gases. Ozone depletion is about ultraviolet radiation and CFCs destroying the ozone layer. Don't mix them up. Second mistake: when explaining how carbon dioxide levels fell, candidates often only mention photosynthesis and forget about the oceans and sedimentary rock formation. Examiners specifically credit both mechanisms, so always mention both. Third, when asked about incomplete combustion, some candidates say carbon dioxide is produced instead of carbon monoxide. Remember, incomplete combustion means not enough oxygen, so you get carbon monoxide, not carbon dioxide. Now, command words. If the question says state, give a brief factual answer, one or two words or a short phrase. If it says describe, say what happens using correct terminology. If it says explain, you must say how or why. Use the word because to link cause and effect. A 6-mark explain question needs at least 6 distinct linked points. For questions about the greenhouse effect, always mention short wavelength radiation from the sun passes through the atmosphere, is absorbed by Earth's surface, re-emitted as long wavelength infrared radiation, which is absorbed by greenhouse gas molecules, which then re-emit it in all directions, including back towards Earth. That chain of events is worth multiple marks. On timing, allow roughly 1 minute per mark. A 6-mark question should take about 6 to 7 minutes. Don't rush. Examiners reward precision and completeness. Time for a quick-fire quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What are the 2 main gases in the modern atmosphere and their approximate percentages? Answer: nitrogen at 78% and oxygen at 21%. Question 2. Name 3 gases present in the early atmosphere that are not present in significant amounts today. Answer: carbon dioxide, methane, and ammonia, or water vapor. Question 3. What process was responsible for increasing oxygen levels in the atmosphere? Answer: photosynthesis by algae and plants. Question 4. What type of radiation do greenhouse gases absorb? Answer: long wavelength infrared radiation. Question 5. Name 2 pollutants produced by incomplete combustion. Answer: carbon monoxide and soot, or unburned hydrocarbons. How did you do? If you got all five, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with the key points to take away. 1. The early atmosphere was mainly carbon dioxide and water vapor produced by volcanic activity. There was no oxygen. 2. Carbon dioxide levels fell because it dissolved in the oceans and was incorporated into sedimentary rocks and fossil fuels. 3. Oxygen levels rose due to photosynthesis by algae and plants, starting around 2.7 billion years ago. 4. The modern atmosphere is approximately 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and 0.04% carbon dioxide. 5. The greenhouse effect works because greenhouse gases absorb long-wavelength infrared radiation and re-emit it, trapping heat in the atmosphere. 6. Human activities, burning fossil fuels, agriculture, deforestation, are increasing greenhouse gas concentrations, enhancing the greenhouse effect, and causing climate change. 2. Combustion of fuels produces pollutants including carbon monoxide, soot, sulfur dioxide, and oxides of nitrogen, each with specific environmental and health effects. That's everything for today's episode on the chemistry of the atmosphere. You've covered a lot of ground, from the fiery birth of our planet to the pollution challenges of the modern world. The key is to keep revisiting these ideas, testing yourself, and making sure you can explain each concept in your own words. Good luck with your revision, and remember, every mark you earn is a mark you've worked for. You've got this.